ahead of Brother Stanley or some of these other ministers. The Lord laid something on their heart this morning also. I know that there are many here much more capable than I am. But I thank the Lord for His blessings to us. Thank the Lord this morning for how that the Lord has helped us this week in the meeting and also in our own body. I appreciate the prayers of the saints. Appreciate the support that we've had. And I want you to know I've appreciated much being here with you this week. And I thank the Lord for His faithfulness to us. The Lord is such a faithful God. And I believe that God is doing everything He can to get us to heaven. I believe that the Lord loves us and cares for us. And His greatest desire is for you and I to make heaven. I don't think there's a one that God just passes over and says, I'm not interested. No. I think the hardest sinner, the one that has spurned Him the most, the Lord in His love is still looking. If there was a way, if there's something I could do to convince them to just give their heart to me, I feel like that's the love of God. That He just reached down and try to help them to make heaven. You know, that's my desire this morning, is that every one of us make heaven. I believe that when we get to that place to where that we can enter the portals of heaven, we'll say, surely it was worth it all. There is nothing in life that could in any way diminish what the beauties of heaven will be like when we get there. And I desire this morning to make it, and I desire for you to make it. And I believe that one of the things that is going to be required for you and I to make heaven is to have hope. We need hope this morning. We need hope desperately. You know, I think of times in my life when maybe I didn't have as much hope, and you know, it's a desperate place. It doesn't matter if it's in any facet of our life, when you get involved in something and there is no hope, it's just a dreadful place. It's just a place that you look at and you think, well, what's the use? There's no hope. But I want you to know this morning that God can give you and I hope. That God can give you and I a desire and a love for God that will cause us to be drawn to Him, and that will somehow within the darkest recesses of the heart bring a light and a ray of hope. And you know, that's what Christ came for, is to shine that light out into a dark world. It was a place to where that without Christ, it was a place of darkness, a place of despair. But when Christ came, He was the light of the world. And He came for the purpose of instilling a spark of hope in your heart and mind. I wonder this morning what we think of hope. I wrote down the definition of hope. Webster says hope is the desire for something which a person believes he can be obtained or expects he will get. The source of hope. To have hope. To desire. Do we have hope this morning? Do we have a desire to go to heaven? Do we have an expectation that I will be able to make it to heaven? Do we have within our heart that real, He said, the expect that He will, something that one that believes that can be obtained? There's a song in our song book, number 198, and it says, have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? I believe the apostle said in one place, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. If all that our eyes, and we can look at that in a spiritual side, of if all of the things that we're doing from a spiritual standpoint are just in this life, we're of all men most miserable. But I think of it more so in, if in this life only, that's all my hope, I have nothing beyond that, we are of all men most miserable. I wonder this morning if we have a hope beyond the grave. Is there something when you begin to look that you begin to think about that there's a home that I want to go to? Is there an expectation? Do you ever pause in the busy cares of life and stop and consider what is next? What's after tomorrow? If tomorrow never comes, what's next? Where will I go? What is my expectation after that? If we have no thoughts beyond that, I want you to know tonight, you're in a pretty hopeless condition. This morning, rather. We're in a pretty hopeless condition if we have no thoughts beyond tomorrow. If we have no plans that go beyond the present, the here and the now. We need something that reaches out beyond that. There's a scripture that I would like to get over here in Lamentations. I assume this morning that most all of us believe in God. I would think that that is something, just knowing all of us that are here, that that is what we believe. That we believe in a heaven and a hell. If there's anyone here that doesn't, I would like to challenge you to rethink that. Because when you begin to look into the Word of God and it begins to reveal what those places are all about, it's going to be an awesome thing and a fearful thing if you've assumed wrong. When you begin to think about what hell is all about, it is a fearful thing to think of going there. And I believe that all of us, no doubt, have a desire to go to heaven. And I would assume that everyone in this building at one point has a hope of going to heaven. I trust that we do. It says here in Lamentations, the third chapter. Lamentations, the third chapter in the 26th verse. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, this scripture conveys to us that it is good. It's a good thing to have hope in God and in salvation. And I can think of nothing more important this morning than that hope. There is nothing in my life that I can think of that would come to a place that would be more important than this hope. But I want to ask us, what makes that hope different than any other hope that you've had? When you look at this, he said, it is good for a man to both that he should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Do you know people have hope for all kinds of things? People have hope for many different things in life. Some of those things have come to pass and some of them haven't. I want to ask us this morning, what is different about this hope than any of those? Many times a person will say, I hope this happens or that doesn't happen, or I hope that I get this or I don't get that. Sometimes it comes to pass and sometimes it doesn't. Most of the time, these things will come to pass whichever way they come, and it really doesn't matter that much. Sometimes it does, and it affects us for a while. But most of the time, the things that we have hoped for, if it goes one way or the other, it's not life-altering. It's not life-shattering for the most part. If I say, I hope it doesn't rain today, and it rains, does it really matter? But I want to ask you, what's different about this hope? When you begin to consider these things, and you begin to look at this, is this hope any different? You know, it's sad to say, but there are many people who have thought no more about the hope of heaven than they have about these other kind of hopes. There are many people who have never really considered much. They just kind of a fleeting thought that, yes, one day I would like to go to heaven. But they've really never paid it much more mind than that. But I want to challenge you this morning. What happens if that hope goes like some of the others? Do you know that's a serious thought? Lord, help us this morning. You know, I believe that this hope is much more important than that. And when you begin to consider the scriptures and you begin to consider what they say about heaven and hell, it causes me in my mind to want to have that hope more sure than that. I want to be able to be persuaded in my mind that my hope of heaven is not something that, well, it may happen or it may not. Because I'll tell you, a lot of times things I've hoped for didn't come to pass. And it's a solemn thought. I'd like for us to turn over here to Luke. There's a scripture here in Luke. Very familiar scripture. This is the place that Jesus was telling a parable. Luke the 16th chapter, 19th verse. Jesus was telling a parable to the people here, and he said, and I'm going to read all of this. Bear with me. He said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham's son said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst good things, thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would come pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You know, this is a solemn parable that Jesus talked about. Jesus, I believe, conveyed this parable to cause the people in his time and in our time today to recognize the danger of thinking of no more than the here and the now, the present. He was trying to stir up their minds. As you begin to look at this, he was trying to show them that you need to think about something beyond yourself, something beyond what you're facing right now. You need a hope of something more. But you know, there are so many people in our world today that are just like this. They are so busy with the cares of life that they have no time for the most important thing of their heart, of their life, and that's their soul. These people, many of them, and I want you to know, life is very, very busy. And it's getting that way more and more and more. And there's a reason for that. The enemy of your soul wants to destroy your hope. The enemy of your soul wants to rob you from the things that God has for you. And if you begin to allow him and you begin to do as this rich man and you begin to go on, you'll find yourself so busy with the cares of life. The very most important thing of life is neglected. Many times people are just like this rich man. He said that Lazarus was there and he was hungry and he was looking for something. And all he got was the crumbs that just kind of fell off of his table. The rich man was so busy and so carried away with the things of this is mine, this is what I'm doing, that he had no time to think about that. And you know, many times the enemy will do that. People get so busy that their soul is hungering for God. Their soul is reaching out for something. I know that there is a heaven and I know there's a hell and I need something. It's longing, but all it gets is the crumbs. Maybe once in a while they go to service. Maybe they go to service every Sunday morning, but they only get the crumbs. Because I know what it's like. I've been there. You come into service and you sit down
And your mind is so carried away with all the things that you're going to do after service and where you're going and all of this, that only a crumb gets through here and there. And you go home and somebody asks you about the service. Brother so-and-so preached. Crumbs is all we got. The rich man here, that's all that he had for Lazarus. And you know, many times that's all the devil has for your soul is the crumbs. And when you get to that place and you begin to recognize, oh, my soul is starving. Many times it's too late at that point. I'm persuaded this morning that had people really given the time to their souls, there would be many of them that would be reconsidering. There would be many of them that would be trying to have more of a hope of heaven. But the enemy will do just like he did here. I wonder sometimes, do you wonder at this? Look at this verse here in the 27th verse. He said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Do you sometimes wonder what those that have gone before us, those that are saved and those that are unsaved, may have wanted to convey to our hearts? I wonder about it sometimes. I think about those that I have known, acquaintances and loved ones, some of them that are sweetly saved, and some of them I know from their testimony that they went out into eternity suddenly unprepared to meet the Lord. And I wonder sometimes what it is that they are saying, oh, but Father, send him back and tell him this. I want you to know this, if I could just convey it to your heart. And I wonder sometimes, I'm persuaded that this is not the only, when Jesus told this, it's not the only time that it's happened. And I'm persuaded that every one of us in here, that there's been someone that's gone before us that would long to tell you something if they could. But I wonder what the answer is. They have the Bible. Let them read that. Do you notice what he said? Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Moses was gone by this time. But he said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. I wonder when they say, oh, but Father, send somebody back to tell them. And he says, they have the scriptures. Let them read them. Oh, but Lord, no, send somebody. I know what it's like. I didn't take time to read it. Send somebody. They have the pastor, the ministers. They have the books, the tapes. They have. Let them hear them. Oh, do you know this morning it's a solemn thought to think about what it will mean to be in a place like that and recognizing that it's eternity. It's not just something that my hope was dashed and it's gone, but it's forever gone. There's never, never a possibility of it. We heard in the meeting how that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not something capable of happening. But I want you to know, when you lose all hope, when you lose every bit of hope, it's a dreadful place to be in. Lord, help us this morning. There's a scripture in Proverbs that I'd like to turn over here. Proverbs, the 13th chapter. Proverbs, the 13th chapter in the 12th verse. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I'm sure all of us in this building, no doubt, know what it means to have your hopes dashed. To have longed for something and planned for something and then have it dashed. It just won't be. Never will happen. I think about people who have taken and they've gone all the way to their plans of their wedding and they've got almost to the altar, so to speak, and something happened and a loved one was taken out And it was all of their hopes, all of their dreams were dashed, never to have it. He said, hope deferreth, maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I wonder this morning if any one of us can even begin to realize, myself included, what it will mean if my hope of heaven is dashed. Can you even begin to grasp in the wildest imagination of what it will mean if that hope is dashed? Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It makes me to shudder when I think about what it will mean to miss heaven. When I begin to look at that and I begin to see the awfulness and the finality of hell, and I consider that, it brings a shudder over my spirit. And yet I want to ask you this morning, what makes this hope any different than any other hope that you've had? What makes this hope of heaven any different than any other hope that has been dashed? There's a scripture here in Psalms 147, chapter and 11th verse. It says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. I want to ask you this morning, is it enough to fear God? Is it enough to hope in the mercy of God? I don't know about you. That's good. It's good to fear God. And it's good to hope in His mercy. But I think there's something more substantial than that. I think it comes down to something that you and I must have a hope that is anchored in something solid. There's a scripture in Colossians. The Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was speaking on this line. He was telling here the Colossians in Colossians, the first chapter, I'll start here in the 25th verse. Colossians 1 and 25. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, I want you to know there is a hope that is steadfast. There is a hope that you and I can have that goes beyond any other hope. And there is a hope, there's an anchor that we can have that is solid in the rock, Christ Jesus. He said, in that hope, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, do you know there's many people in our world that have a hope of heaven, but they don't have it down in their life. They don't have that hope in their hearts. They don't have that hope down in there that gives them that assurance that this will come to pass. That I can know that my name is enrolled in heaven because Christ is in me, the hope of glory. There's a scripture that said, that is Christ in us that worketh in us both to do will and to do of His good pleasure. I want you to know that unless you and I have that hope working in our hearts, we're not going to be able to do those things that God requires for you and I to make heaven. God is looking for a life that is clean and that is pure. We've heard that in the meeting. But I'm going to tell you, unless Christ is in your heart, you won't have that hope. There's a scripture in Romans, the 8th chapter, where it says that, for ye are saved by hope. And then over in the 15th chapter it says, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you get a hold of that? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That hope in us, giving us power in our lives to have a hope of heaven. Oh, I want you to know God wants that hope to be in us. He wants it to be there. There's a scripture I'd like to get here in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Lord, help us this morning. Do we have a hope? Is there any hope within